Greetings, everyone. This is Sound Health Radio Show, where we talk about the crossroads of the environment and our health with Richard Talk to Me Guy. And as we know, Sherry Edwards is off working on the Sound Health Portal. Currently, I would suggest going to thesoundhealthportal.com, scrolling down just a bit, and clicking on the Watch How button. Then, you'll see a short video explaining how to record and submit your first recording. And it's real simple, but it's good to watch the video to just see the how. Then go back to thesoundhealthportal.com, scroll down to Current Active Campaigns. Current Active Campaigns mean software programs that are available, and a campaign is to get to use the software for free. Some of the campaigns, such as Corona Conflicts, Bio Diet, or PTSD TBI, pick a campaign that is of interest to you, click on Free Voice Analysis, and the system will walk you through submitting your recording. You'll receive an email with your report back usually in 1 to 2 hours. I then suggest sitting down with a cup of tea, reading the report, and then if you have a healthcare practitioner, chiropractor, acupuncturist, somebody that you work with, you might sit down with them and talk about it and say, oh, we could be working on this. That'd be really good. To hear and share replays of this show, 20 to 30 minutes after you hear the outro music, go to talktomeguy.com, just like it sounds. Scroll down that page, and you'll see this show at the top of the episodes page. There are also archives of over 400 shows available there as well. You'll see that there's a microphone in all the show notes at the lower right corner of the show notes. If you would like to leave me a message, you have a question for a guest, or you have a guest suggestion or an idea for a show, you can do that directly from there. If you want, you can just leave me a message and say hi. With that, with over 2 decades of research and teaching experience, Sound Health bioacoustic instructor and practitioner Roberta Cuffin uses her unique skills to instruct Sherry Edwards students in bioacoustic protocols at Sound Health. Roberta's ability to make the complex simple and her genuine passion for guiding people to heal, find, and fulfill their purpose attracts high-caliber clients and students from around the world. Roberta, also a teacher of Judaism from Christian perspective and a podcast host. Her Saturday show takes listeners and viewers on a journey of self-discovery to explore the intersection between Christianity and Judaism to find the truth hidden within. Roberta considers herself the shock jock of Christianity, and her classes are refreshingly not what you expect. Roberta joins us today to talk about the future of medicine needs you to become a sound health practitioner. Welcome, Roberta.
Hello. Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Unusual being on the other side of the microphone, isn't it? Where people
yes.
asking you questions.
Yes, exactly.
It's great. We hadn't really talked about this, and how did you discover Sherry Edwards' work? Were you looking for something, or did you just bump into it? Were you in the music field? Were you in the acoustic? Were you already a practitioner of some other things? How did you find it? How did it pop up for you?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. I've spent many years teaching, and I actually was doing a Bible teaching on sound, and this has been years ago, and a friend of mine knew that, and she happened to find a book in a discount bin somewhere, and she sent it to me, and it was about sound, and the person in the book mentioned a woman who could tell the state of someone's health just by their voice. Unfortunately, the book never mentioned the name of the woman, and I spent quite a bit of time actually trying to find out who that was, and I considered myself a pretty good researcher. At the time, the internet wasn't hiding information, so it was a lot easier to find things, but it took me a little bit of time, and once I found her name, I thought, oh, wow, this sounds exactly what I'm looking for. So I did feel a leading in that direction. I didn't know where it was going to end up. But once I knew and understood, it resonated with me. And then I went all in. I actually, a friend who was house sitting for me at the time, I paid to have her go through the technician class. And she's helped me with my own business. And then I went after her. So I had her check it out first, and then I went through.
See, for me, I actually met Sherry at a show at a Whole Life Expo back in the day. This will date us for those of us. I believe I can refer to you as a nerd. It was so long ago that Sherry was hauling around a regular old CRT monitor and a big PC. And she had a booth set up at the show, and a friend of mine said, oh, you've got to see this. And you'd sit down with Sherry and talk into a microphone, and then you'd come back in like an hour or two, and she'd hand you a cassette. That's how old this was, a cassette with your tones on it. And
wow.
I was, you know, and then years later, I wandered into her show one day and have been here ever since. But it's, you know, once you see it in action and hear it, it's the same way for me. Like, I was hooked. I've always thought it is amazing work. And were you a practitioner for a long time before you started teaching classes? Or were you already a nerd? Were you already kind of a computer wonk, so to speak?
Yes, because in my previous job, I had a website. I had several, in fact. And I did news, and I did, I built some databases, and so I had that knowledge already. And so, you know, when I got into this, I knew that I wanted to teach because that's my passion. And so I asked Sherry right away if I could teach, and she's like, no, you know, you've got to be a practitioner for years. And so she came to me later, and we made an agreement. She asked me if I would start teaching because she liked the way that I simplified the process. And I think I do simplify it. I think we've made it a lot more difficult than it needs to be, and people get really overwhelmed with the amount of data that we have. And I think that that's a big obstacle for a lot of people. I didn't want that to happen.
Yeah, even though I was nerdy, well, I've always been nerdy. That's actually a hashtag in my profile, nerd. And it was a lot. You know, when I took the training, it was a lot of information, and it was a new way of thinking. And I think that's part of it, is it's an expansive, I'd already got my degree as a master herbalist, I'd already had a retail herb store, so I'd already been in the field of talking to people about health stuff. And I was, not unlike yourself, pretty good at explaining things. But stepping into the world of looking at the charts and the graphs and the spreadsheets and the everything, it was overwhelming. And it wasn't really, in a way, I've talked with you enough that I know that you're a good explainer. And that's really, it's really important. It's really, we need people.
Yeah.
Sherry's really good at what she does in finding and figuring out, but explaining, not as great. Only because I think she knows so much, she doesn't know that people might have to know that or this or something else. It just flows out of her.
Exactly. And we're all like that, really. When we know something so well, we're not as good at stepping back into a student's perspective.
Yeah.
And I learned that really in web design, and when I was building my own previously. You have to step back into your user's role when you're designing anything and build that according to what the end user is going to need and how they're going to approach it.
Yeah. That's a whole show right there. Sometime we'll do a show just on teaching.
Yeah,
because it's a thing.
Yes.
I'm an educator. I'm not a teacher as much. I mean, I guess I am a teacher, but I'm more of an educator, I think, which is still teaching.
Yes,
it is really the ability to look at the eyes of the person that you're talking to or is hearing you, and going, "Oh, they're not going to know all that stuff that's in my head. I have to explain all that."
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of splaining, what are the three levels of classes? How do people who want to do this start?
What I suggest to people is take the free class, which is the apprentice or guest level. That's free. Anybody can take it. And I believe that you get a free trial for the portal, which is our online workstation, to kind of try out and see kind of what it's all about. You don't get a lot of information to use as an apprentice, but it's more to kind of see what everything is about and if maybe you have an interest to that. And then the next level is the technician level, which is a prerequisite to the practitioner level course. So the technician level gives a little bit more information. You do get software. Excuse me. You do get software with that. And no frequencies, but software to help you work with, again, just you get muscles and nutrition. You can start to see what it's like to become a practitioner. And then the next level is the practitioner level, which is much more intense than the technician level, only because the amount of information that's out there that we, you know, Sherry has put together this great resource for us. And people get overwhelmed by all of that. And you really have to explain how frequency works. And once the students, new practitioners, understand that, then they can take a breath and not be so scared or uptight about working with frequencies or seeing clients.
When I took it a long time ago, the final training, the Barra training, are we changing the name into practitioner, which I think makes so much more sense than bioacoustic research associate. And that's hard to fit on a card.
People don't know what it means, really. I mean,
yeah.
We say that with in-house,
yeah.
But people outside don't know what that means. So it's, you know, we need to use something that people identify with. So I think practitioner makes more sense.
Right. And as you're teaching people or working with people, are you teaching, you're teaching classes on each of these now?
The apprentice and the technician are self-paced online,
mm-hmm.
on
okay.
Sound Health Options.
Okay.
Those are not on the portal. A lot of people get confused. The classes, okay. The online portion of all those classes is on soundhealthoptions.com, and they can find that under classes. I teach just the practitioner level. It's a full day class. It's a 1 week long, 5 day a week. We do it about 6 hours, and it's very intense. But I'm just starting a 1 day a week class for those who can't take time off work. So I'm trying to accommodate people so everybody can come to it if they want. And I'd really like to interact more with the technicians because I think they need a little bit extra help and they need understanding. They need to know, you know, what can they do with that level of training? Is there
right.
anything you can do with that level of training? And there is. And so I think it's just kind of brainstorming. And I love to brainstorm with people. It's that marketing side of me coming out. It gets me... gives me kind of a break from the brain damage of the other.
Because, yeah, when I took it, it was a solid week. Just bam, a solid week. Full days. And at the end, I just thought, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm nerdy. And yet, it was still like, A, it's mind-blowing because you're learning not only a boatload of information, but it's new languaging, new stuff, new charts, new graphs. And it's a lot to take in. And then you're like, okay, go.
Yeah, and I tell people when they take that course, when you get through with the course, and probably many times throughout the course, you're going to feel like you want to cry, both
yeah.
men and women. And that's okay. That's normal. because you think, oh my gosh, how can I do this? And most of us have no background in health, or, you know, we're not a doctor or some sort of licensed, practitioner.
Right.
So we think, oh my gosh, how can I can't understand this. But you can. I promise you, you can. You just have to work with the information. We give people 2 times to go through the class and for free, you know, for the 1 cost.
Uh-huh.
And then afterwards, we're here to help you. We've got we're building a great support community. And I think trying to get mentoring set up and some small groups set up. So I'm really trying, you know, with Sherry's help, to set up these ways that we can support the practitioners.
Mm-hmm. I think that's huge. Back when I was doing it, I don't know how many years ago that was, but a long time ago, there wasn't that much support, just because there weren't people such as yourself. There were people available, but it was kind of hit and miss with who you were working with. And it's, as somebody in chat is saying, you know, it's a very valuable talent and skill to be able to turn a complex topic into an XYZ for dummies. And I know he means that in the best way.
Exactly. Yeah, and I saw that there was a need for that. And because I'm not, you know, I'm not type of a person. I just want to help people. I see when people are struggling, and I know that I have the skills to help them. So it was natural for me to step outside of myself and start reaching out to the practitioners and say, hey, you know, do you need help, or let's get together, or whatever. And so when I first started, I only had a couple of practitioners that were with me in the class, and we stayed in contact for a long time. And I know that that's common. And so I wanted it to be more than that. And so I have a vision for doing that and for helping Sherry do that. So it's nice to collaborate with her, and because she wants to see her work move forward. Mm-hmm. And I believe that I truly believe I have a mission to move her her work forward. And that's what I'm going towards.
Right. Moving her work out into the world. That's really stupendous. And so let's go back for a minute to the people don't, I think it's the people don't need to have been in a healthcare-related industry to do this. And this is a sort of, I'm going to go 2 paths. We were talking about the box of marbles. Hold on. So if somebody has no experience in that world, put that as a thought over there. And do you work with a lot of people who I know in talking with and at trainings and listening to doing shows with Sherry for a long time, that people oftentimes will get into it because they either have something they want to work on, or they have a loved one that they want to work on with this technology? Is that still a trend? Are a lot of people coming in and finding this work and going, oh, maybe that'll help my husband with his vision, or help my wife with a, you know, leg issue? Or is that sort of an often still a gateway for people of their level of interest?
I tell you, it was until recently. Huh? Most people that came into it did it because they needed to help themselves or a loved one. We still do have people like that. But I'm seeing the trend now, since COVID, people stopped working. They had to reevaluate their lives. That was a great thing about COVID. What really is important to us? What's our focus? Is what we're doing making us happy and fulfilled? And most people were finding that it wasn't. So they were like, what's the core of who I am? What's my calling? What's my purpose? And now I'm getting phone calls. The majority of who I talk to feel like they've been called to this work. And I really think that that's an important part. If you don't feel called to something, you'll never stick with it. And sound health and bioacoustics is something that you can't not do. If you're called into this, you can't not do it, because it's like, you know, it's such a part of you somewhere deep inside that it was just what you were waiting to find.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as you said, I think it's a hashtag I like to use occasionally just to freak people out. Thanks, COVID, that it really helped us evolve, meaning Sound Health and the bioacoustic work, to evolve to being an online business. Because
yes.
It really did open the doors to, oh, we have to do this online now. So we should learn how to do this online. And now people are going, oh, I can do this online? Because for years it was carrying around your laptop, taking a microphone, going and sitting in someone's home or having them come to you. And now we can do this all online. And I think that's really stupendous because, such as yourself, you have clients from all over the world. So
yeah.
I think that's the exciting portal that has opened, is the opportunity
exactly.
to find, oh, we have to do it online, so we can now. Great.
Yeah, we're in a much different world now. We don't have people coming to us, especially COVID. You know, with COVID, everybody was isolated. And we have to find a way that we work in the world that we're living in right now, in any given moment. How do you do that? And so Sherry, one way that she did that was with the campaigns. So people can record their voice and get an assessment online instead of coming into a clinic somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we still do have practitioners that have clinics, and that's great. But those of us who don't, I work from home. It's great. I'm helping take care of my parents and other things. And so I want the flexibility. I travel a lot. It goes with me where I go. And all it takes is a microphone on the other end, and then we, you know, transfer information back and forth. So it's a simple process if you know how to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
So what I try to teach the practitioners is, how do you make it simple for the client? If you make it too hard, the client is going to walk away and they'll never come back.
Right.
So you have to make the process seamless and as painless as possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where I'll step slightly, not really sideways, I don't know, more of an angular step. We haven't really talked about the Sound Health Portal, because I think that's part of the evolution, is the demonstration of seeing, oh, look, now we also have the portal available, which allows people to go and see it. I promote it every week. I talk about it. If I want to look at something, I just go to the portal and do that. When I'm out and about, or if I'm someone's home, I can take them into the portal and show them and walk them through, like, oh, here, look at this, look at that, get some reports. So in talking to you, I really got the work that you're teaching, the borrow work, the practitioner work, isn't separate from the portal. It's sort of in addition to the portal, or vice versa. I think everything that you learn as a borrow, I just can't help but use that phrase, is beneficial to using the portal, because it gives you more knowledge about the portal. Is that correct? That's in the form
yes.
of a question. I know it didn't
yeah.
sound like that.
For me, I use both. The portal is great because, yes, you can take it with you. It doesn't matter if you're using Mac or if you're using Windows-based systems, because the standalone programs are Windows-based. And so the portal, you know, you're not reliant on having to go out and use a PC if you don't want one. However, I suggest highly that people do that, because what happens if the internet goes down? And you can get different types of information in different ways. And for me, I work very intuitively. You know, I'm praying before, as I'm working. I'm sensing how the direction I'm supposed to go. And sometimes that's through the standalone programs, and sometimes that's through the portal. And the great thing about the portal is, I love the way that Michael has put it together where the information is so easy to understand. Because when you're trying to give a report to a client, they need something that they understand. And I, even though that there's reports that come off of the portal and that you get as a, maybe as a free campaign offer, they're really kind of hard to understand. If you get one of those, people really need a practitioner to explain what that report means. And if anybody has one of those, feel free to give me a call. I'd be more than happy to walk them through it. But when you're doing reports, I think a practitioner, the more ways that they have to absorb the information, the better, because then they're going to be able to give a more cohesive report to a client. So if the client doesn't understand the information, you will lose them. They will never come back to you. So it's really important that we educate the people that come to us, our clients, in how frequency works. And frequency has many, one frequency can mean many different things. So say one frequency, it might be 20 different things, for instance. It might be a muscle, it may be a vitamin, it may be a gene, a protein, any of those things. And Sherry has developed a system and taught us how to identify what something may be. It might be a pathogen or a toxin as well, through the architecture of the voice. And then we use that knowledge to make educated guesses on what something might be. Now, I'm saying educated guess because we are not doctors. We're not practitioners, licensed practitioners, and we cannot say that we are unless we truly are. I tell my clients we're researchers. That's really what we are. And really, even doctors sometimes don't know with any certainty what something may be. But the body knows it. So as long as we know what frequency is out of balance, then we can use that knowledge to administer frequencies to a client to help bring their body back into balance. It's really about balance. And the body knows whether it's a muscle, a vitamin, a toxin. And we build formulas based on our educated guesses. And then we use the feedback from the voice to tell us whether or not we've made the correct choices in our formulas. And if not, then we go back and we correct those. So it's a very hands-on process with the client. And the knowledge or the information that we give that is different than anything out there. We have a lot of competitors out there. And the thing that's different about Sherry's work in bioacoustics, sound health, is that it's quantifiable. It's not subjective, which a lot of these things are. They'll talk into this app, you're on a scale of 1 to 10, this color, this note is out of balance. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, you're an 8. Oh, my goodness, what are you going to do? Here, listen to the tones that we're giving you. Retest. Okay, now you've retested. Oh, look, now you're a 2. See what we did? We did excellent, Do it again. We'll sell you another program, on and on and on. Well, first of all, how do you know that you were out of balance in that note or in that frequency? How do you know that that was the actual frequency that they gave you? And how do you know that you're now a 2? How do you know it did any good? It's all based on feeling. But with Sherry's work, we show you in the voice where that frequency is located, how it's changed, what it's done. We can show you visually what's happening in your voice. That's something no one else can do.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is a bigger thought for me, it goes back to Bruce Lipton. And the first time I interviewed him, and I've interviewed him a number of times since the very first time in the 90s. I'll just go back to the 90s. and where he had the aha, and Bruce Lipton was a teacher at, I don't know, one of the Ivy League schools, and an MD who had the aha of, he was talking about, I was actually at a lecture, he was demonstrating DNA-RNA interaction using PVC piping, which was quite amusing to watch him swing these pieces of plastic around to go, see, it happens here, and the thing taps this, and this does that, and all this. And it was in the evolution of his own work, in that he had the aha when he looked more into a spiritual side. He passed through the phase of realizing that the hormone receptor sites, the cells that receive hormone messages, which a lot of our system works off of hormone messaging of one kind or another, are little antenna. So they're really receptive. They're looking for something. They're waiting for that hormone, and they're not going to take the wrong one. They're going to take the right one. And so that goes to the same thing, I think, with the work that you do and Sherry's work does, is that it gives the body something that it's looking for, and it, the body takes it in, and then the body knows what to do. If we supply it with the right nutrition and good sounds, there's more there, good sounds, the body will help heal itself. Because it's looking for the right nutrition, and this is amazing nutrition.
Yes, and I think the body is designed in a way to heal itself. I don't think we necessarily need an outside source. It's just that it's a tool to help us now, and it's helping us remember how we do that. I think eventually we will get back to a point where we will have no sickness and no disease, and we have to, how do we get there? Eventually, it will be our own sound. And, you know, Sherry mentioned this years ago when she was talking about the sound of your voice, and she knew that. She just built a system to kind of help us progress to that state. We're not there yet, but I believe at some point in the future we will be there. And I think that that's why they try to silence us. And, you know, think about it. People used to sing. My parents, my grandparents, myself, you used to walk around singing all the time. No one does that anymore. Mm-hmm. We've really lost the song within ourselves. And that's why we're all sick. Once we find that, and if we start singing, then the body, we can balance our body by doing that. And I think a lot of people that do meditation or that intoning, those sorts of things, they understand that. People kind of feel silly now. They're self-conscious. We're watching everybody else do it on social media. We don't do it ourselves. So we're really, you know, we're the losers here.
Yeah.
So we really have to find our voice again. And I think by teaching people how to listen to the voice, our own voice, other people's voice, what does that mean? We start getting in tune with hearing. We're really not good at listening. We're good at talking, but not very good at listening.
Yeah. And there's a
including
great...
ourselves.
Yeah. What? Why should I listen to myself? What a radical idea. Kathleen Nagy wrote a book on humming. I think that's part of the title, Humming. And it's a great thing because she's a classically trained and been doing it for decades, French horn player and orchestras. And she discovered, which I always think is funny. A lot of times the French horn will stick their hand into the bell of the output and actually take the sound they're putting into their skin because their hand is in there. So it's really like, wow, what an amazing self-winding system. And she wrote this wonderful book on humming. And it's really, it's a wonderful engagement to, like, we're not singing. It's a little safer. It feels like, okay, we're just humming to ourselves. It's really a powerful, as you say, the singing. We don't sing anymore. I'm not a singer, but I'm a hummer. And so I'll do a lot of humming, and particularly because I'm in places sometimes where if I sing, people would look like, what is that?
Yeah,
but you're right.
What happened during COVID. You know, my cousin's a music teacher. She couldn't teach music because they didn't want people singing. She had to do something to make up in that year, you know. And, you know, if you went to church, if you went to a congregation, you weren't allowed to sing. I mean, it's silencing us in whatever way they can. And we have to find a way that we take our power back. We don't allow them to silence us. What does that mean? We can do that by ourselves. Do it in a room. Do it in the shower, which is great because sound, you know, water amplifies sound. So, you know, all these wonderful things while you're swimming. So let your body talk to itself.
Yeah, I do a lot of self-talking. As I often tell people, I'm a guy who talks into a microphone alone all the time. So there's a lot of,
yeah.
Sometimes the mic's not there and I'm still talking out loud. So there's a lot of that. Why are you doing that? I don't know. Leave me alone. So, humming, singing, toning. And I want to go back for a moment to the classes. So everything that you learn, either as apprentice or as a tech or as a practitioner, will help you be able to, this is in the form of a question, will help you utilize the Sound Health Portal even more so.
Exactly.
Yes? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, because you're learning how, the meaning behind each of those processes that are happening within the portal. It's all, built on other systems that, you know, standalone programs. But the portal kind of makes it, he's taking all this data and making it more accessible in one place. We have standalone programs. We have a couple different ones, or I should say we have one main one that we use, and then there's individualized programs. But each one of those you would have to do individually, potentially. But on the portal, you can do all of it together. So it's really a great tool for those who use it. And not everybody uses it. I think that they should. And I think it's very easy as a practitioner to, it's not that expensive. I think we undersell ourselves and our service. That's a big problem with us. We don't value the time that we put into assessments. If you're doing it right, if you're just giving somebody, you know, a basic assessment or something off the portal, I think you're doing the client a disservice, personally. If you're using the portal correctly, you can take the information from all that that's in one place and you can make a very cohesive report for a client. Or even if you don't do a report, you can walk them through it. You can show them online through a Zoom meeting.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of different ways to do that. And I'm trying to teach the practitioners that right now, different ways to do your business. You just have to be inventive and, you know, think outside the box at times. And I've had to do that in previous jobs. So it's easy for me to do. And I understand that a lot of people don't think that way. So that's why I want to help them. So the portal, great.
Go ahead. Yeah. And what I was going to toss in is, again, back to thanks COVID, because we're in a new world of a lot of online activity. I think people are now more comfortable doing stuff online. I mean, there are people, I use a service called Meetin, not Zoom. And it's amazing to me that people who are doing online stuff are like, and it, for me, it works when I'm working with somebody on a sound. I worked with a musician who travels internationally, and she was in Africa. Excuse me. And she was having some problems, and I had her, you know, we did a live talk back and forth in the middle of the night for me using Meetin to have her show me her equipment. While I was talking to her, we were talking while she was showing me what was going on, and I helped her adjust it, and it was great in the half an hour.
Yes.
I would have never been able to do that. Well, it's always been available, but not as readily available for people to just like, oh, yeah, let's do this right now. Boom. You're talking to them. They're seeing it. So I think that's a very powerful adjunct to the idea of being a practitioner, to be able to take people with you on the portal and go, oh, here's this information, or here's the chart I'm looking at. That's huge, because it's a lot to take in, and it's still a lot to take in, but if you're seeing the visuals, I'm a very visual person. For me, it really helps.
Me too. But, and it helps to explain it.
Yeah. You can actually see the dots, and when they see something, like I say, the infamous methylation cascade chart. Oh, Lordy. Yeah, my God. I've spent a lot of time with Sherry in webinars having her run to the methylation cascade, methylation chart. And it's just like, it's always, oh, my God. It always just makes my mind cross because it's so much information in that what looks to be a not huge chart. But it's a big deal. And it's so much easier. It must be much easier for you to be able to take somebody and show them, oh, here's what we're talking about. This thing right here, you're not getting the, you know, your mitochondria aren't getting MAP.
Right.
And here's why. And here's how we can help you fix that. I mean, that's amazing. Having the visuals really helps. Makes me think about being a practitioner again. Like, oh,
yes,
yeah, I can do that.
Because I'm comfortable with technology, I'm usually walking my clients through the process from beginning to end.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I understand a lot of practitioners aren't comfortable with that, but I usually do a remote session with them on their computer. I help them, you know, download the free Audacity program. We ask people to do that. It helps to record the voice within the parameters that we need. And set up their microphone, and then I just give myself the file as I'm doing that. I'm helping them. We're talking, we're discussing. So I'm helping them through this process, and usually I'm doing that by walking them through step by step on their own computer, whether I'm doing it remotely with them or I'm guiding them through it via Zoom, et cetera. And I think that what I've found is when I do that, the clients really appreciate it. Because we have a lot of people out there, especially older people, that don't understand the computer, that don't understand, you know, what button do I need to push, or, you know, what do I need to do? How do I send a file? How do I do record? They don't understand any of that. And if we could just get them online to a Zoom call, at the very least, then we've taken a huge obstacle away from them. And then they're going to breathe a sigh of relief and say, wow, I really can do this. So that's another way. We just need to do whatever we can to help the people that are coming to us or that want to come to us. There's more and more people coming all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You see what's happening in the world.
I think it's a huge thing to be able to, as I said, I've spent a lot of time in WebEx and webinars with watching Sherry do this stuff, and it always helped me to watch the process, even though it was all about the answer at the end, but it still really helped me to see it. So the idea that now as a practitioner, as you say, I could do it on Meet and you can do it on Zoom, to actually show people what you're doing, and then later on they might have a question about that or like, what about that thing you did there? What was that? You know, it just really helps to be sharing the same visual information.
Yes, and that's one thing that you can't do with the other standalone programs. You cannot show them because there's proprietary information on those programs. You
right.
really can't.
Yeah.
You can't do that. And so it's really easy with the portal because you can hide, you know, that information so it's not viewable to your audience. So I think that that's very important. You can cut and paste certainly and whatever, but you know, that all adds time. And as practitioners, we have to, you know, when you start, you understand how long it's taking you to go through those reports. And that's another obstacle that a lot of new practitioners face. They think, oh my gosh, I can't make any money at this, but you really can if you do it the right way. So you need to really find ways to streamline your process and what's going to get you the quickest answers for people. And I think we have to be honest with ourselves and know that that's what we have to do. People expect good reports. We cannot undersell ourselves. But, you know, to do the work, we actually have to do the work ourselves too, and that's practice. And that's a big thing.
Yeah.
A lot of practitioners don't want to do that.
Right.
Too much work.
And there is this, I'll call this a qualifier, I'm not sure quite what to call this. There is that point where you, I can't put this into a formal question, sorry, but you'll know what I'm asking. There's a point at which you have to decide whether you're a client, because sometimes even as a client, you can be very excited by what's happening. But there's a difference between being a client and an actual practitioner. And is there a choice point? You probably have worked with people that came to you to be a client. And then they went,
actually,
I love this. I want to do this.
Yeah, I've had both.
Okay.
I have a longstanding client who's actually getting ready to go into the next class and be a practitioner. So I'm really happy about that. And then I've had people to call and want to be a practitioner, but I can tell by their voice they might not be, you know, suited for it, or maybe they're going in it for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm.
So my advice to anybody that really isn't sure, do a free campaign. You know, call me. I'd be happy to, walk people through an assessment or any of the other practitioners. We have some listed on the Sound Health Options website. You can do a free campaign as well, but I would make sure you reach out to a practitioner to explain it, or again, call me, or I can give you to another practitioner. But get a report back, see what that's like, see what that process is. Understand the type of information that we're getting or that we're giving you. And again, if you don't have somebody that's going to explain it well to you, that might not be the best thing. Hopefully you would get somebody who explains it well. And then once you see all of that that goes into it, then you'll make a better decision. And then I tell them, go into the free apprentice class. It's
mm-hmm.
free. It costs them nothing. And see what it's all about. And then if they want to progress, then they can do that. I don't really want people to go in and not be satisfied or be upset that they made the wrong decision. You know, it's all
mm-hmm.
on us to make the decision. But I want to give people tools to be honest with themselves, because I know I wouldn't want, getting training for anything can be expensive and it's time consuming. So if you put all that effort into it only to find out it's not what you want to do, or you should never have done that, there's regret there. And I don't want to be part of that process. I want to be honest with people. So that's what I would suggest. Be a client. Get a free campaign, if nothing else. I do free initial assessments for people. I don't know if there's other practitioners that do that. Probably you could check around. We all do things different, and it depends on, you know, you've got to connect with your practitioner too. So some are also chiropractors, some are massage therapists, some only do sound health, some do rice, some do parasite cleanses as well, or, you know, so there's this whole gamut of practitioners and how they work with bioacoustics. And so each one will have a little bit different perspective. They'll have a different way of doing things potentially. So be comfortable with whoever you're going to work with.
Well, I think it goes to what we were talking about earlier about being an educator or, you know, a teacher or something. When you work in whatever it was, when I was an herbalist, you have to have a certain tolerance for having to maybe say something 12 different ways. Tolerance isn't quite the right word. Patience. There we go. Patience. Sometimes it feels like tolerance, but it's patience. And you have to be willing to be with a client and go at their pace. You can't, just won't work if you are at a particular pace and you want them to come catch you.
Yeah, and here's the funny thing with me. I have a huge family. You know, where I live, it's like everybody's related. And a lot of older generations, you know, we spend a lot of time with the older generations. So you have to speak slower. You have to speak clearly. My mom always had an expression, round and plump. And she made us practice that. We had spelling tests when we came home from school. I appreciate that because it really helped me to articulate. And then on top of that, I homeschooled my daughters all the way through. They went to junior college as part of their education. But and so I learned that each person learns differently. My older daughter, very structured in one way, but she would hang upside down when I was trying to teach her. And when I first started doing that, I would be like, you sit up here, you pay attention. And she would, and she'd hang back upside down again. And I would quiz her. Okay, what did I just say? After, you know, three times of that, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is why I homeschooled. Teach them in the way that they learn best. Now that daughter went on to become a pharmacist. She's out of that now, but she, you know, highly structured. My younger daughter, she wanted to play, she wanted to experience, she wanted to, you know, she wasn't really that interested in school. She learned better with videos and more not as structured. And she went on to be, you know, work in education. So I think that you have to understand how each person learns, go slow, adjust. I never know how my classes are going to go. I love just working, you know, with the crowd, working the crowd.
Yeah.
I want to see what are my students like at the time? Because they're going to be different than the ones before and the ones before that and the ones before that. I want to see, you know, what I want to read the crowd and teach to my students, not have them just listen to static, you know, material.
Yeah. The old days, there was a short period in my life where I taught at a university. I taught film and video production as well as business communication. And I would watch professors that had been there for a long time, and they'd just pull out the big thesaurus, you know, the big book for the semester. I'm teaching Econ 101 this semester. And they'd just pull out the big book and, like, flip pages and read. And it was just deadly. It was a deadly style of teaching. Just horrific. It was not my style, obviously.
And what do you learn? What do you retain?
You learn to just remember the six things they want you to remember. It doesn't – there's no system to it. There's no – yeah, just you learn how to take tests. And that's a whole other show. It just blows my mind that people don't, as you say, work the crowd. You have to, even if it's a one-on-one, you're still working a crowd. Or like I am when I'm talking to a guest, I'm with the guest. I have to be in conversation with a guest. I have a list of questions, but there's got to be a flow to it. And you have to just establish that rapport. So it is, you have to be willing. And as I say, thank COVID, I think it's really perfect that now it is, everybody is set up to, like, be online, be communicating that way, because that's how we had to be communicating. Because it makes it so much different for, as I say, for me to be able to sit down with you and be online and have us look at something and you walk me through it would be just huge.
Exactly.
In terms of learning. Because when you know that I'm stuck on something, you go, oh, no, that thing here that you're hung up on, later on that will, you know, whatever the words are. But it's really about, it's true of anything. If you're going to be in a client relationship with anybody, you need to speak at their level. And I mean that again in a kind way.
Yes.
You know, hold their paw, take them through it.
And really, when you have people that are asking questions that you think are obvious, or you even get, you know, short with them, or you think, oh my gosh, you know, this person is asking this question, don't they know? It really helps us to be a better instructor because it takes us back when we first, it should take us back if we're good instructors, to the time where we didn't know that. And so we need to understand that there's people that don't are not at the same skill level that we are. I have to slow myself down a lot still. I try to be better all the time, but you know, we can always, we always have room for growth, each one of us. So being at the level of our client or our student is very important.
Mm-hmm. And again, I really, when the Sound Health Portal came out, I had a sense that, or I thought, this is my thinking, that that was going to replace the practitioner lugging around the laptop thing. But the more I've talked with you, I realize, and the more I've looked at it, I really realize that they're a perfect combination now, because you have the best of both worlds.
I really think so. Yeah. I really think so. I know that, you know, the idea, I think, was for that originally. I say don't do that, because it's how people absorb information. And plus the fact that we have these screens, I think screens are not good for us anyway. We're looking at them. You have this vibration that's coming back from us from the screen. So uh-huh. Sometimes it gives us headaches, it affects us. Some people just can't be on the computer. So I think that I don't like the idea of just going to the portal. So because people learn in different ways, and I don't know any other way to describe it, but for me, I have to feel the information. I have to feel the numbers. My fingers have to touch it. I don't know what that means, but I have to kind of sit with the information a little bit and allow kind of God to talk to me through the information. I can't explain it. And so depending on how I'm working and what I'm trying to accomplish, I'm doing that in different programs. And I'm sure there are other people that are the same as me, that they like the different programs. So, you know, my suggestion is to keep the options open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I do like the portal. I remember now one of the reasons I was excited about the portal is because I was primarily a Macintosh user, because I produce on a Mac.
Yeah.
So I'm in a Mac world. I'm cross-platform because of what I do. I have to know both systems, but I'm dominantly a Mac user. And that was the exciting part for me of having the portal be available, is that it meant I had gotten a Windows laptop, which since has died. The idea of having the portal while I get the next laptop is an exciting thing, because it doesn't stop the work. It does allow some stuff to be happening, knowing that at some point, again, I'll have another Windows machine and be able to do even more.
Yeah, I think as a practitioner, you cannot work efficiently without the portal. I think it really helps you to work quicker. So if you want to make money, actually make a business out of this personally, I think you need the portal. Now, you know, other people may have ideas about that and may have great systems down already, like the older practitioners who helped build the programs, who know, who are more confident working in the older systems. They may have a great flow down. For me, I find my quickest flow is from the portal, the online portal, because I can, the information, the way it's laid out, I can see an overview. I like to work general and narrow down. Some people like to work on certain issues. I like to work on them all at the same time, and then let's narrow down. Let the body decide.
Right.
Tell me. I want the body to talk to me. I don't want you to talk to me. Tell me what you think is wrong or what your doctor thinks is wrong. I want the body to tell me what's wrong. So I work a little differently than a lot of other practitioners in that way. And I teach practitioners to do these different approaches, whatever you want. However you want to work is up to you and what your business model is. But for me, because I want to see an overall picture, the portal allows me to see that very broadly and quickly. So I like that. And I personally would not work without the portal. Bands is such that you can, it's not astronomical, so you can pass that on to your clients, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that much.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking at other business expenses, you know.
Right.
As a practitioner, you're not spending that much.
Right. And I do love the part of the portal. I remember the first couple of times in the early stages before the portal was out, and the evolution since then, I love the pie chart. Just like, boom, there's the thing. There's the thing you want to work on now. There's the thing.
Yeah, and we're going to be expanding on that. That's something that we've talked about recently, and the reports are going to be much more comprehensive. So that's something new that Michael will be doing, and we're going to collaborate together on some things with Sherry, obviously.
Great.
So I think that exciting things, you know, we're constantly trying to be better.
Right. And I'm stunned to find we're at the part where I need to ask you, where can people find out more about your work? And I will put your email address in the show notes because you asked me to, so people can reach out to you. Because there are some people in chat asking some technical questions, but they're way too technical for here. but I will put your email address in there as well. But how do people follow you and find out more about your work?
Yeah, they can go to my website. My personal website is bioacoustichealth.com, B-I-O-A-C-O-U-S-T-I-C, health.com. And you can contact me through there. You can contact me through Sound Health, too. I'm on the practitioner's page of soundhealthoptions.com. And, yeah, feel free to email me, to reach out. Look at the contact page. You'll find my information there. I'm happy to talk to anybody.
Great. Thank you, Roberta. See, that was really easy.
It was easy. Exactly. Thank you.
That's exactly how it
should
be.
You always make it easy, Richard. So thanks.
Thank you. Thanks. Everybody have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.